Blog Talk Radio.
Stretch for, break for, release me.
Favor. It's a time of rain. It's a time of increase. It's a time of harvest. It's a time for reaping. You've sown in many tears. You've sown countless nights. You've paced your floor back and forth. You've believed. You've stood on words that you have yet to see come to pass. But this is the time for rain. Ask for the rain.
Anybody thankful? He is for you.
name of this song is just simply Total Praise.
you by surprise. You got this figured out. You've been watching us now. And when it looks as if we can't win, wrap within your arms and step in. And everything we need you to supply. You got this in control. And now we know that you made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. You made a way. And now we're here, looking back on where we've come from. Deserve the love and mercy you show, but your grace was strong enough to pick us up, and you made a way. When our backs were
against the wall and it looked as if it was over,
Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here.
You made a way.
Matured in Christianity because I wanted to cuss for the last 30 minutes. I've been really wanting to cuss, just say some stuff. But the Lord held my tongue, and I really almost didn't see. Now I got that part, not saying it out loud. Now if I could stop thinking it, then I'll be all the way there. Anyway, it is what's today? Wednesday, August the 16th, 2017, and we are finally live on the air on all of our mediums. We had some real serious issues with our Blog Talk website, which is why we delayed in going live everywhere else. Y'all forgive us for our tardiness, but don't blame me. Blame Blog Talk Radio. Send your complaints and all the things as such to Blog Talk Radio. Not to us, because we didn't do it. Anyway, we're live in studio. It's your boy, your host, Mr. Daniel King, alongside my brother. Look who way down there, y'all, on Facebook Live. My brother in ministry, the one doing it, the good, I'm still going to call him, Pastor Devon Winder is in the house, Dan and Devon. Y'all know the whole thing. And then in the middle, my brother been coming in on Wednesdays now for a little while, the good prophet, Cornelius. Let me give y'all some ball. Y'all stuff is up. The good prophet, Cornelius. Williams, how you doing, sir?
God bless your bones, sir.
And you on the end down there?
Great, great.
Okay, good. We got sound. Amen. Yeah, we here. Somebody just hit me a message saying y'all not on Facebook today. We here now. We late. Y'all, I apologize again for the lack of, but we had some serious issues with our provider today. And I can't blame it on Comcast this time. This was all blog talk. But we got a great show. I'm going to try to get into it. We're going to spend this last hour because that's all we got left. We're going to spend this hour. It's going to be productive. Let me give you the rundown real quick, how you can be a part of the show. Already listening on the line, push one. Already listening on the line, push one. You can be a part of the show. Listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, area code 347-934-0546. Devon, switch that up there so you can get to the Facebook feed. Yeah. All right. You can find us there. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. You want to email the show? Email us. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You can find us there. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Just simply go to iTunes, Blogger, Stitcher, any of those places. Podcast feed or any of those places, just do a search for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Or guess what? Just Google us and you will find us. How about that? Just Google Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon and you will find us there. Gentlemen.
Yes.
Thank y'all for y'all patience. I appreciate y'all. You know what? See, the prophet ain't been around long enough. Devon has been here when we had these issues before. And it took like Parks and Henderson a while. Anytime we had technical difficulties, you know, everybody want to help. But they know, they like, you know, they see me over here, they just leave me alone. They don't say nothing. just let me sit over here until I don't know. They're like, yeah, he kind of crazy. Just leave him over there until he work it out. But man, thank God for alternatives.
Yes, sir.
Right. There's a ram in the bush called Skype. Thank God for the ram in the bush called Skype on today, because I don't know what was going on with the direct connect. Wasn't working. But we are here. How y'all doing, man?
I'm doing well. What about you?
I'm good. My brother?
Good.
You good?
Good.
I know I started already. Let's get right into some conversation real quick before we jump into the article. And I didn't even open it up on that screen, but we'll do that in a minute. Yeah, we're still able to take calls. Everything else is up and running. Y'all can get on and all that good stuff. On Monday, I decided to invite Apostle Rogers in. And it was amazing, man.
I love
that guy. Man, he is.
He's smart.
You know, I like him because he ain't just scripturally smart. He edumacated for
real.
You know.
Educated for real.
Yeah, and he brought some great insight, some historical insight to racism in this country and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And we touched on it spiritually as well. But so much has happened since Monday. This guy who sits in the White House, President number 45, Donald Trump, came out and decided to up his remarks and then pretty much stepped on everything he tried to clean up. He stepped on it and made it worse. Let me just put my feeling on this. I was thinking about this on my way in. I normally listen to gospel music on my way into this. To the studio today, but I couldn't turn from. I was flipping my satellite radio from CNN to Fox News to MSNBC, and people go, Fox News, really? Yeah, because I like to listen to all sides, because somewhere in the middle is the truth. and I'm sitting there, and all I could think about was, we are in trouble, and I'm not even talking about from a spiritual aspect. We are in trouble because. It feels like we're on the verge of civil war in this country. It feels like we're on the verge of, like it's about to be a powder keg, and they're like there's this huge powder keg of either gunpowder, or there's this huge what do they call it, this bonfire where they've taken the wood and they poured gasoline and they poured lighter fluid, and then you got one side saying this on the other side, and they're just throwing matches at each other across the top. And eventually one of them is going to hit, and then the whole thing is going to explode. That's the thought process that I have. Between that, the amount of violence in our city. Again, our prayers go out to the Friendship Baptist Church, Reverend Backus and his group over there, for the shooting that took place on Sunday morning before service on the steps of the port of the church. Just your insight, y'all's insight on what y'all see. And yes, I know it's a spiritual thing, but just, you know, let's try to not talk over people's heads. What do y'all see? Whoever. I don't care. Whoever wants to go first. I need to do some inviting. Y'all go ahead. Y'all pointing at each other.
Wow. I mean, pretty much for me, it's, there's definitely something festering. And, mm-hmm. of course, looking at it from the politics, of course, it all goes back to, and it's funny that I got a text message yesterday that said, so there was a solar eclipse. What do you think about that?
Actually, and it's not until this weekend that the full thing happens, but go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this person just kind of gave me sort of a spiritual sort of look at how they see things progressing with what you said, the violence in this country, mm-hmm. you know, all of that stuff. And it's just like, you know, I mean, for me, it's, man, things just have to happen.
Wow. You like it's part of you. You feel like it's a part of the process.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It goes. It's a part of
prophecy.
Exactly what the scripture says. When man will become lovers of themselves.
Mm.
And so, what Proverbs talks about, that destruction that takes place. You know, pride comes before destruction. And so, we live in a country that's just like that. It is groomed. Generations and generations of people, and even the guy on the show, he talked about it, where he talked about, look, we think that this country was founded on Christianity.
Mm.
So I was listening to the show, and the mm-hmm. truth of the matter is that you can't come over and take over a country and kill people and say it's Christian. Your moral basis for why you were here was just gain.
Mm.
Let's be truthful about this, and mm-hmm. this is what this country has always been built on, is gain. Power,
mm-hmm.
prestige.
Mm.
That's what this beast is.
Mm.
And so in your greediness,
mm-hmm.
in your ability in the level of corruption that exists in this country, at some point, okay, we had people who said, we're done with police brutality. We're done having to go down the street where we can't use certain restrooms and this and that. And, you know, so we're going to, at that point, it was a protest.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always said, even as we talked about police brutality when I was on the show on a consistent basis,
mm-hmm.
is that if there comes a time where there is a time of war, and it's not a war because we're fighting another country, it's a war within the country.
Civil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's because of the things that have been going on for years and years and years. And it just takes a few people to say, look, we're going to set off this ticking time bomb.
Wow.
What do you do with that? Well, what I would say, find yourself in a position where you're fighting for the right cause. And that cause for me is that we're fighting for Christ.
Mm.
To be amplified, to be talked about, to be magnified in the earth realm. Outside of what you said, okay, we somehow still have to ultimately bring ourselves back to that place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is just my opinion. But go ahead.
I think this is, America is the greatest symbol of hypocrisy when
wow.
it comes to democracy, global leadership. It's interesting to me how when we look at the landscape of all of our diplomatic affairs, of how we've stepped in to assist other countries in civil rivalry, humanitarian affairs, the reason we got connected with a lot of the wars, even in our recent history, we find the devastating reality that war, literally terrorism, can hit our streets just with this last weekend, because it's nothing but terrorism.
Domestic
terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
It's chickens coming home to roost, really, to me.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm X said that some years ago after the assassination of President Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a lot of flack about that, but it's the reality. This is what America has sown. And this is what America is going to reap.
So the reaping, you're saying this is part of the reaping process.
This is part of the reaping. It's generational.
Yeah.
Racism and ethnic divide. This is what our country is. You know, we were just property, African-American people. We were property
mm-hmm.
to these people. We were brought here to be property. And they cannot see us sharing in their economy. They cannot see us sharing in their educational systems. They cannot see us sharing in any system.
Well, we can share as long as we're the ones doing the work. We can't own.
No, we can't share.
Oh, we can't even share.
No, we can't share. Let me tell you why we can't share.
Okay.
It's because even in the – I could go back to the days of slavery.
Okay.
Even when you got, you know, some slave masters would permit some of their slaves to read.
Yeah.
They still could not read the books that contain the greatest information.
Right.
So there is always some kind of
children's
limitation.
Books.
Yeah. So we, you know, we can't share to the extent in which we can obtain or attain the same level of information, the same level of economic – we always have to be the step behind because they feel it's their country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Donald Trump, and, you know, a lot of people call him 45, but I'll call him Donald Trump, President Trump. He's our president.
He is.
I said,
end of the day.
At the end of the day, he's the president of the United States. He sits in the seat of power in the Oval Office. Thank God that it's an institution.
My God.
He can't go that far.
Because he believes it's a monarchy.
Yeah, he believes it's a monarchy.
He really does.
Because he believes he can say whatever he wants to say. But, well, you know, you really –
Well, he can.
He can, but the extent in which is governed by the Constitution of the United States. So he's still limited at best.
Yes. Yeah.
It's because, you know, I do want to say this, is that what he's doing is no surprise.
No, not at all.
It's no surprise. The language he kicked off, I said this to somebody I was talking before. I forgot the comic's name, and I was going to look it up before the show, but I wasn't feeling the best, so I didn't get a chance to do it this morning. But there is a guy who wrote this comic back who did this comic back in the 90s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on this, and I'll get the right information to the show so that you could post it.
Mm-hmm.
But he prophesied through this comedy, through this comic
about Trump becoming president.
Trump becoming president.
He's from England.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly
what I'm talking about.
He prophesied about Trump becoming, and all of the details, most of the details in this comic book is actually coming to pass. So this takes me back to when President Barack Obama was elected to office and the propaganda he launched about his citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is tying in, and people would think, and I'm going to this point, that Donald Trump, President Trump, is actually joking or he's just being cynical, but this is in his blood. Mm-hmm. I was watching the show last night on MSNBC. I watched that stuff. I can't stop watching the news. It's just
very
bad.
Addictive.
It's very addictive.
It really is.
And Rachel Maddow, she did a show, and I love the way she opens up. She's so slick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she did this this piece on the history of the influence of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes.
And she was explaining how with the Ku Klux Klan, it was never about just denying African Americans.
No.
It was about them having political prominence and prestige.
Yeah.
So she included that how they back in 1924 influenced the Democratic National Convention to the point so that they just had to throw a candidate out there, and they would not allow the candidate that they the Democratic National Convention really wanted, is because the KKK wouldn't allow him to be elected because he was a Catholic.
Right.
So he was the governor of New York at the time. I can't remember. His last name was Smith,
mm-hmm.
against the Coolidge guy or whatever
mm-hmm.
his name was.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on to say that they had launched this in Washington, D.C., one of the largest KKK marches ever. They did it again the following year. First year was 20,000. The next year was 50,000. So they showed their weight, you know, on the nation's capital. Then in 1925, I believe it was, she said, she did this piece where in New York, the same group of like militia type guys the Nazi guys who did the thing that they did this past weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia, and this
neo-Nazis.
Neo-Nazis did this past weekend in Virginia. She was showing how they did the same thing in New York City in the Bronx because the police that were getting hired were Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
So they rose up against the police who were Catholics. They did this march and all of this stuff. And a riot broke out, And I went on about the point of Donald Trump about this, about he's not joking or being cynical. This is who he is. It's because his father was one of the neo-Nazi protesters, Fred Trump. And his name is actually on the record as one of the arrestees who was a part of the neo-Nazi arrestees, protesters. And when you think about a person like Donald Trump, who would make the claims that he made this the other day, that all sides are to blame, and you know, the media is making, the fake news is making this out to be all of this stuff that he's doing. He's actually the person that they actually raised up. He's kind of like a Manchurian candidate, if you want to say that.
Which is what they accused Obama of being.
Exactly. raised him up to be like a Manchurian candidate, to be this person to reestablish the neo-Nazi movement and the KKK back into political power. Because not that it's constitutional that that the president would, you know, have to denounce them. It's just our moral responsibility that we would. But because he did not denounce what they did, or was clear about his position on race divides in America, he has now empowered their political stance in the United States of America. And I think that that's where we're headed right now.
That's good, both of you all. I am, and I said this the other day, and I put the post up. I was sitting there just thinking about it, and I said, you know, Donald Trump didn't create new races in this country. He just set the atmosphere for them to feel comfortable in their own skin.
Absolutely.
and he has empowered them. And Apostle Rogers said this on Monday, that same thing you said, that this, that he believes that this was conjured way back when.
Yeah.
Setting up Trump, you know, putting him on television constantly.
Absolutely.
Making him, you know, making America used to him.
It was a propaganda campaign.
Yeah, we were used to him from being the, you know, the big, the boss, the rich guy who fires people. It's funny, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's funny, he's harmless, you know, but he's just a rich billionaire who whatever, whatever. Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. He switched parties, I believe they said five times. In his since we've known him, he switched parties five times, invested millions into Hillary and Bill Clinton's original campaign in the 90s, and did all of that. And now there is this he's here, and he has this this foothold, and he is not one to be led, even though he is being led by outside forces. He is not one to be led. If you look at the picture of him at this press conference yesterday, he was only supposed to go up there and talk about this economic agenda, and that was it. And he decided to address the fact that he was still being beat up on the news because of his comments. More CEOs have left him. Another one left him today.
He went on there to do that because his statements were prepared.
Yes.
He pulled it out of his pocket.
Right. So, and see, when he speaks from the heart, he speaks the truth.
Yeah.
When he read that statement denouncing the KKK and everything, that was on the teleprompter.
Absolutely.
That's what he was forced to say. And then yesterday, he got up and said what he wanted to say, and they panned over to his new chief of staff, Kelly.
My goodness. Yeah.
And Kelly had this look on his face like, why
I can't
are
believe
you
just
talking?
Did that. Yeah.
They panned over to Sarah, the new girl who took Spicer's place, and she's sitting there looking around the room like, somebody stop him. They panned over to his other people, and they had this look on. They all decided to look down at the ground. No one would make eye contact because they knew if they could, what they wanted to do was do a, you know, let this be Dana in the balcony on Sunday, and somebody then got up in church and they talking a little bit too long. All of a sudden, you know, that mute button becomes real wonderful.
Yep.
Like, what happened to the sound? I don't know, Doc, but you need to sit down.
Right.
That's what they wanted to do, but they can't.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me the lack of response you're getting from those who supported him wholeheartedly. And that moves me to this black evangelical coalition.
Daryl Scott.
Pastor, and I say that term loosely.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to respect the position because I didn't call him. He say God did.
Oh, God, help me, Jesus.
Pastor Daryl Scott in Ohio.
I'm quite embarrassed.
Don't be.
I'm embarrassed for this reason. I'm embarrassed for him.
Don't be.
I'm embarrassed for him. I'm embarrassed for the church.
He feels supported.
It's because I tweeted about this today.
Yes.
I tweeted about this morning.
I was
in disbelief. I said, what is he doing on here? Is he still supporting?
Yes.
And then
him and Omarosa.
He said, well, Omarosa, she's another story. But what is his name? Daryl Scott?
Pastor Daryl Scott. I don't know about the doctor, Bob.
He goes on there and says that the media to blame
right.
for this.
Yeah, and that Donald's first statement, it was wonderful.
First of all, our responsibility, and you said something last week that really stuck with me.
Okay.
And I didn't realize how powerful that was until I left.
Okay.
You said that, no, this was a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You said, what should the church, should pastors
mm-hmm.
cross over into politics?
Mm-hmm.
To what extent should they do it?
Mm-hmm.
That was so powerful. I mean, it mm-hmm. shook me to my core. I really was thinking about that. I had to pray a little bit to say, God, you know, did we respond to this right?
Okay.
You know, and I'm thinking about the dangers of doing it.
Yes.
It's because this man is in a very, very influential place.
Mm-hmm.
And he is guided by crazy, crazy propaganda, and all that comes out of his mouth is nothing but conjecture.
Yeah. He is a retweet machine. And it's so funny. Yesterday during this press conference, I know we got somebody talking about stuff. Y'all just bear with us because this is important. Yesterday he said the reason it took him so long to respond was because he likes to wait for the facts.
He already had the facts.
Well, no. First of all, that's out-and-out lie.
Yeah.
Because Donald Trump responds instantly to everything.
Yeah.
Facts or no facts, wrong information. No. He retweets Fox News. He retweets conspiracy theorists. He retweets any and everything without fail. The minute the black CEO left his organization, he retweeted. He got on this dude 43 minutes after this dude put out a note saying, I no longer want to be a part of this thing. Trump said, yeah, okay, good. Now you can go back to stop ripping people off for high drug prices. But he was on your council.
Yeah, he was on your council. Wow. And said, we've got more CEOs in line.
Oh, that was
inflation.
The next
yeah,
one. That was the next tweet, but he didn't call any else by name.
No, he didn't.
He only called out the black CEO, the one black CEO.
Called him a thief.
Yes, and you can stop robbing people with your high drug prices. Since then, six other CEOs have left his Council of Business or whatever it's called, Put America Back to Work, whatever this council is, and he has not called one of them by name.
Not one. Because his lips has influence.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I don't think much is going to change.
It can't.
Yeah.
Nothing we do, and Apostle Roger said this the other day, ain't nothing we could do today that's going to change anything about Donald Trump.
No.
Until it's time to vote. So he in there for three more years.
Unless he does something that can bring him up on impeachment.
Unless here is where I will get myself in trouble.
I like to hear you get yourself in trouble.
That's really not a good thing.
That's
though,
actually true.
It's really not
truth,
a good
they
thing.
They just don't know how to digest.
See, and it's only gotten worse because my brother used to be here every day. And he's always the calm one, and you know he keeps everything normal in here. But see, I've been by myself a lot lately, so you know I'm like that only child.
So you have to be
home.
Refined again.
I'm right. You know what I'm saying? You know, only children left at home with no parents is bound to get in trouble.
Well,
you know?
We got you. We won't let you get in that.
Okay.
Way.
Well, here you go. We can say stuff all day long is wrong to us. Us meaning you, me, him, other folk, same color as us.
Mm-hmm.
Hispanic people can say it all day long, until white folks stand up and say, hey, dude, you need to shut the hell up. What you're doing is bad for everybody. We don't want you. We don't need you. And we are tired of you. Then he can be removed. We can say, because, you know, we've been hollering impeachment since the day of the inauguration.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he had no grounds yet for impeachment.
You know, I think that we just need to go to popular vote in this nation, elects the president, because this is the second Democrat that ran against the Republican
mm-hmm.
that lost because of the Electoral College. This is the Republicans cannot make it into office the last two elections.
Mm-hmm.
They
with Bush and now Trump.
They could not make it into office without the Electoral College.
But then,
you know why they don't want to let the Electoral College go?
Well, part of it was because it was supposed to be fair to the smaller states so that everybody had fair representation.
Yeah.
So a state like Maine or Rhode Island could have equal say in who becomes president, because otherwise, if it's only, you know, a million people that live in Rhode Island and there's 2 million people hell in Chicago alone, then, you know, we can always usurp somebody else's deal. I understand what you're saying though about the popular vote. I think it's more of an issue of
balance of power.
If I'll say it like this, if black folk would have showed up to vote, Donald Trump would be president. We stayed home.
You know why?
Because we didn't want to. Because we felt they didn't like Hillary.
They let the media.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, propaganda
yes.
is the power in this generation, and people aren't getting this. These lies that we're spewing out in the media, and they're believing this stuff. The reason Hillary Clinton did not get elected is because of email issues.
She didn't get elected because of email issues. And then, you know what, if you go back and watch, and it was so funny, somebody did a documentary on it, I don't know if it was CNN or whatever, how she lost or whatever it is, and she never ran on a platform. Her whole platform, and if you go back and watch, it was always, well, I know y'all ain't going to vote for crazy. You know, everything was, he's crazy. He's a liar. He's a chauvinist. He's a racist. He's a bigot. Okay, but what you going to do?
I think they missed it with Hillary.
They did. And she missed it because she thought that
the power of her name would
she
get her
thought
record.
Her name and that all of the Obama people stayed home. Let's just be honest.
That's true.
All them folk that showed up in 08 and again in 12.
They were the old man's people now.
They
became the old man's people.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That next group, the people younger than my brother down here on the end, they stayed home. And a lot of them wanted Bernie, and they didn't like the fact that the truth came out about the Democrat, the party did not want Sanders. They wanted Clinton, and that forced a lot of people to stay home. They said, what?
Upset a lot of people.
You'll win, but you'll win without us. I'm sure they're regretting it.
Yeah, they're regretting it now.
Because now you don't let the...
Yeah, they're regretting it now. But, you know, I just feel that, back to that Daryl Scott.
Yeah.
That guy. What voice? My question for you was:
Praise the Lord for Kim Tony. Kim Tony, I ain't seen you on here in a while. Kim Tony says, "I think we should have the popular vote with some disclaimers because I don't want Beyonce as a candidate." See,
you know what?
But you know what? See, that's the problem with the popular vote, though.
Yeah, I'm done. I don't even want to talk about this. I don't even want to talk.
But she's right. Think about it. What's to stop, I mean, at that point.
What's to stop anybody from running for president? If you're 35, you can run. You got influence, perhaps you can win. You have a platform, maybe they'll elect you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all of you, we already know that a lot of these people are getting in by secret society.
Well, that's what Roger said.
You've chosen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They pick you. They say, if you want to be president, this is what you have to do.
Yep. You think Obama was chosen?
I believe in some
way.
Now
he did go to Harvard, right?
Yeah, he was.
But
very smart.
But he was not a member of.
He was not any member of.
He was
any
not
society.
A member of Skull and Bones.
No.
Not that we know of. He was not a member of. I don't think he was a member of a fraternity. Not that I've never heard it mentioned. If he was,
he was definitely initiated.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
Okay, and he was
you
not.
You have to acknowledge. Certain things when
but
these
Barack,
people,
yeah,
and that's a whole nother situation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I
believe he moved this nation.
Yes,
I really believe President Barack Obama moved this nation.
And everything, and if you look at Trump's agenda, he really has no agenda. His agenda is to tear down everything that Obama put a fingerprint on.
He didn't even spend any money to win.
He didn't have to.
He didn't have to spend his money.
He didn't spend his own. No,
the news covered it. They made him.
Yeah.
And now he's their biggest problem. Now he's the fake news.
But he's also their biggest moneymaker.
Yeah, he is.
Because advertisers now, CNN all day long, Fox doesn't need him. You know, what's the amazing thing, and we're going to move on, but one of the amazing things I love is during this tragedy in Charlottesville, I don't keep on saying Charlotte, but Charlottesville, all the other major news organizations were covering it. You know what was on Fox News?
What was that?
They were replaying the Jeremiah Wright videos from the Obama election. Can you believe that? That's what they were playing.
Wow.
They were playing Jeremiah Wright, who, to my knowledge, ain't he sick right now? Ain't he recovering from something? I think he was ill for a while.
Yeah.
But that's what they were playing. While people were protesting and killing each other, and this man was driving his car, who now, who we know, he told his mom and them, I'm going to a Trump rally.
Oh, no wonder now Trump says, before Barack Obama, before Donald Trump.
Okay. Yeah. 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 So, anyway, go ahead. He's going to say something.
I do have a question.
Please, ask.
And then, it just sort of surrounds the sort of, how we feel. And when we mention us, mm-hmm. African Americans, blacks,
mm-hmm.
or whatever you want to call us, you know, everybody got a name for us.
Don't say whatever.
So, but we're children of God. Let's
yes.
just say that.
Okay.
But nationality wise, let's talk about, and I don't know if the question has ever been asked, we talk so often about how we are being discriminated against, how,
mm-hmm.
you know, these things are happening to us.
Mm-hmm.
Have we ever asked the question, why is God allowing it to happen?
Mm. Well, Romans 13 is the answer to that question.
Because when we just say us as a people, we've suffered at the hands of this country, this nation,
mm-hmm.
and it's continuing to happen. And there doesn't look like there's going to be any stopping anytime soon. What do you say to that? Where's God in the midst of all of that? The people who are listening to, okay, this is happening to us. It's constantly happening. It's happened to my grandma, my great-grandma's generation,
mm-hmm.
and now we're still seeing the effects of it. Where is God in the midst of all of this?
Let me ask you. I got your answer with Romans 12.
Mm-hmm. 13,
sorry. I want to answer your question kind of with a question.
Mm-hmm.
Where is our responsibility in this? And I don't mean ours as the church, because we're quick to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The church is culpable in some areas. But our responsibility as black people for our lack of unity amongst ourselves, we are the only race that feeds on each other. And when I say that, crabs in the barrel type mentality, because this could not happen, you know, regardless of how you feel. I know I got some black friends who have some very strong feelings about Jewish people. They just really do.
Mm-hmm.
However, that group of people, there's no division there. Asian people, if there's division there, let me put it this way, it ain't public. Let me put it that way. You don't see Jews on TV going back and forth. You don't see Asians on TV going back and forth. You don't see other nationalities on television attacking each other. One of the saddest things I saw yesterday, and I know people watched on CNN last night, Anderson Cooper, he had a panel of 6 to 8 people. The majority of them were black. Black Republicans, black liberals, literally attacking each other on national television, attacking each other. When in this instance, this ain't about Democrat or Republican. This is about a country that allows people to walk around and still say Heil Hitler and raising their hand like they saluting Hitler or Trump, where in Germany it is illegal to even have a swastika. You go to jail in Germany for lifting up that Nazi Absolutely. Flag. Over here, because of our freedoms, you can wave it. Wait a minute. Did we not fight Germany for the very reason? How are we allowed in this country to wave a Nazi flag? And then did the North not win the Civil War? Did the North not win? But yet we're still waving Confederate flags. I love the Dukes of Hazzard. Hell, I wanted a General Lee until I knew who the hell General Lee was. I didn't know who Jim. Only General Lee I knew was the car. Let's just be real. Right. Most black boys, the General Lee, man. And today, I just know it's a Dodge Challenger. That's the only thing. You know, it wasn't until somebody said, oh, General Lee, Robert E. Lee.
Yes, yes.
That dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then for this idiot, and I'm going to say this, this president, this idiot in office, to say, are we going to start taking down the George Washington statues? Are we gonna take him off the dollar bill? Are we gonna take him down because of him being a slave owner and all this other stuff? Really? I'm lost. Somebody said read.
It's just a way to divert from what
the reality
situation is.
I'm gonna grab Deuteronomy 28. Somebody told me to grab that while y'all keep talking. I want to see what they.
You know what that says. It talked about, you know, how these people would go into a period of slavery. And heritage, all of that stuff. But
okay.
And that only reason I know about that is because a group or a sect within Christianity, they call themselves Hebrew Israelites.
Oh, Lord.
They hold close to that.
Absolutely.
And I've studied a couple of years with them, and I was entrenched in it deeply. So, and of course, I understand that we can take perspective and or perception, and this is our perception that here's the answer, and this is where they find themselves, is that I found the answer to why we are suppressed, why we are being treated the way that we are, because we're in a foreign country. We're in a foreign land. We were brought here as slaves. The Bible prophesied that we would be this people. And their argument is that, you know, of course, in the Old Testament, they were called Israelites. They were not called Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So Jewish people and the scattering of people, X, Y, and Z. I mean, you can still have some form of Israelite flowing through your bloodstream, but you don't know because they were scattered.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, yet and still, knowing all of this and knowing all of that, okay, let's say that we are that people. Then we know that that promise still remains even to that day because God never breaks his covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But he also talked about the returning of those who are his people back home. So do you stay in the foreign country or do you go home? That would be my question to them, and most of them have went back to Israel. But
I guess to go back to my statement about our accountability or culpability in this, how much of this has been allowed to take place because of our disunity or lack of unity between us? Because we can't even come together on one. The fact that it is public knowledge on how much money black people put into the economy,
mm-hmm.
the fact that this has been put out publicly to black folk, and we still won't use our economic power, because at the end of the day, money is what talks.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we as black folk who have economic power as a group to say, hey, we talked about this early on when Trump first got elected and he started doing stuff and we wanted things to change. And they started talking about, you know, Blackout Fridays and all this other kind of stuff. And I made a kind of a joke on the show, but I said, what would happen if the black women alone in this country banded together and said, we ain't buying another piece of cosmetic, another piece of hair, and another piece for a month? You don't think that would cause more than a ripple? It would cause major issues. Because say now we don't just want this. Now the Apostle Roger says the other day, we don't need to see the table to make our own table. But if you control the money, you control it. And right now we are just spenders.
Right.
We just spend. We help everybody else's economy flourish. None of our money comes back to our own neighborhoods. None of our money, Jewish people, Italians, Asians, their money circulates 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They've been entrenched and taught. Your money don't leave your community until it passes our hands 3, 4, 5 times. Black folk, I can tell you right now, I've been over in between the west side of Chicago my whole life, in or out, whether it was living, going to go or worshiping, one or the other. I don't, and y'all can say guilty, whatever. I don't spend a dime over here.
There was a video that was taped. It had to be back in the 50s or the 60s.
Okay.
I believe that it was a documentary. I watched this some time ago on how to keep
African Americans economically oppressed.
Mm.
It was a documentary that was teaching white America
mm-hmm.
how to stage things in the store, and it was talking about how to watch the African American when they go shop. They like the higher end of things in life, how that they will spend their last dollar to buy quality stuff. Whenever they go to the store, they wouldn't look at the sale items, that they would go look at the finer china and the silver and all of that stuff. And it went on to teach in that documentary that because African Americans were so oppressed for so long, they always reach for the higher quality of stuff in stores.
That's true.
So our oppression has always been systemic of commerce and economy. Has nothing to do whether we're smarter, because mm-hmm. they know that our brains work because we helped build the country. We designed Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of us. If we got a book, can we learn and be equally as smart? They understand that if we can oppress the community
mm-hmm.
through economy, and if we can get them to spend all of their money on gym shoes and all of their money on jeans, and you know, somebody's on public aid and they go and buy, what are those jeans, those True Religion
True
jeans,
Religion
which
jeans.
Cost $150.
Some Robin jeans.
And yeah. you got generational people who are generationally on welfare,
mm-hmm.
living in a household. They want, until we can get some empowerment programs in place, until families in the home, because most of this stuff, what you're talking about, is going to start. It has to start in the home.
Yeah.
It has to start with the mother. It has to start with the father, teaching their children that, you know, I know you want to go to college. I know you want to go mm-hmm. and you want to do these great things in life.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to talk about strategies on how you become the owner of your own business.
Mm-hmm.
It's because unless you are economically empowered, your education really don't mean nothing in this country. It's because just think about all of the people at the recession in 2008 who had master's degrees
folks.
And doctorate
right
degrees.
Right now.
They right now still are making $12 and $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm. When the person you graduated with is well off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's all about economical oppression.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that that's the issue. Until we change our mindsets, much of the problem that has us oppressed will never change.
Wow.
And so how do you speak to – and because this is an ongoing issue, and I know even coming up as a kid, there were churches who offered programs that helped families, that helped single parents.
You're coming on back home now. Come on.
what do you say – to those who have not taken advantage of those programs that probably may not even exist to the degree that it did back then, but they're still available. You can Google programs that black-owned, you know, entrepreneurs who are put together who are saying, look, we're focused on black pro movement. We want to put this out here. We want people to participate. We want people to get involved.
Are they
we're trying to empower the black family.
Are they really that easily accessible? I mean, by, seriously, I'm just asking. I'm not trying. I don't like the term devil's advocate. I'm just asking. Can I really just find that just that easily?
Yeah.
Because
you can Google black businesses in Chicago.
Right. But I'm talking about
yeah.
the part where you're saying about the help
programs.
And the churches, the programs.
Yeah.
Are
yeah.
they are they still there?
Mm-mm.
Because you remember you and I and you're a witness to this because you were out there with me and just to give you some insight, about it's almost been 6 years now, 5 years ago. We did a survey. We took the young adults. I was over the young adult ministry here, and we decided to do a survey. We were trying to reconnect with the community, so we did a 5-question survey, and it was about 15 to 12 of us, and we went a 1-mile radius of the church, north, east, south, and west. We walked the street. We knocked, rang doorbells. We talked to people we passed, and we simply took a few minutes to ask them questions. For some reason, I never get all these questions right, but we asked them how long they lived in the community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We asked them what they thought needed to happen or change in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We asked them what specifically that they needed
yep.
in the community. And then we asked them, I think the very last question was, did they know anything about our church?
Yeah, about kingdom.
About kingdom. And then I forget what the 5th question was, but we asked them those questions. And a lot of them gave us their input on, we talked to some 200, 300 people on a Saturday from 10 o'clock. We were out there till about 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Went all down, collected I mean, a stack of surveys. Had people fill out, you know, we filled out the stuff. And to a man, I think we had, out of the 300 or 400 people we spoke to, four people knew about the church.
Oh, wow.
Watch this. Two of them knew because they say, well, I got my GED there in, mm-hmm. in 1980, whatever. Because I had even forgot that this church had a GED program.
And knew about the daycare center.
And it knew about the daycare center. That's what they remembered.
Yeah.
But all of that stuff was in the 80s.
Wow. So then can...
Wait. One step further, then please jump in. We went to one. It was myself and I think it was Christina was with me. We walked down one block, and there was we knocked this one lady's door. There was a church right across the street. She came out. And we all had these experiences where certain people wouldn't let you leave. They kept talking because they had a lot to say. And they said, that church lady said, that church over there right across the street. She said, they don't do nothing but come over here on Sunday. And once a week, they pass out some bread. Now, that hit all of us because we were like, wow. But we felt empowered, like, okay, hey, let's go and do this. Now, all the other stuff that happened, I'm going to leave that stuff. It was internal. Could have been better, but whatever. That's still the same thing now. Where are the churches? I saw your comment. The churches used to be teachers of the community. Now they own properties. Used to be teachers of the community. They own properties and stores. Yeah, they used to. You used to couldn't come into a community. I've said this over and over again without the church's permission. You couldn't just show up and pop open a liquor store, pop open a store because the church would say, hey, Doc, how many jobs you finna? I got some folk in my church. You know, you couldn't just come build it. We're going to start building a new complex over here. And okay, really? Hey, I got some unemployed painters and construction guys in my church. You know, that doesn't happen anymore. Because I think because of our lack of
participation.
Thank you, participation and our silence, they no longer feel they have to come to us now. Come do what they want to do.
So what do you want? What answer do you want? It's because I'm basing it on, because I think,
mm-hmm.
and I know that a lot of people may say that I always lean towards the responsibility that the church has.
But you should, though.
No. I'm talking about in conversations
okay.
like this.
Okay.
It's because, you know, I know that people, there are two sects in the African-American community
yes.
to me.
Yes.
It's the church.
Yes.
And then it's the, what do you call this? Not the civil rights people, community activists.
Yes.
So a lot of these things that you're talking about now,
mm-hmm.
they expect the community activists to do.
Mm.
So we're finding that the community activists are only showing up on the scene based off what they can get out of the deal. So I think a lot of the breakdown, before I make this last point, I think a lot of the breakdown, and this moves me to tears, it really does, is distrust.
Yeah.
The black community just don't trust black representatives. It's because they know, they don't think that we could be an Oprah Winfrey. Who can't be bought?
Yeah.
Who can't be a Barack Obama? Who
yeah.
can't be bought?
Yeah.
They don't think that we can be. You know, the leaders that last in our community that we're much proud of are people who are without blemish.
Mm.
They automatically look at the African American community,
mm-hmm.
look for leaders. Who can we say represent us that some news angle come out about them?
So
we're afraid to buy into their message. It's because there's always some conspiracy behind them
dirt.
That follows.
We
here we go again.
Right.
I told y'all them niggas ain't gonna do. You know, this is how, and sad to say, to my point,
it is.
Is that is also with religious leaders.
Mm.
That's why that lady can say that church only comes over there once a week and all they give us is bread.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give us no education. They don't tutor our children. It's why. Is we're supposed to be the system, the church. Now, this is why I always lean back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be that system to do what the civil government cannot do.
Mm.
We should be that answer. We should be that resolution and that resolve. And our leadership doesn't understand that. And that's the unfortunate part.
And I think that we start to move into a sort of a theological construct that talks about dominion theology. You get what I mean? And mm-hmm. we're talking about how we understand our position in the earth realm as being God's children. And so if everything belongs to God and he's placed us here to have dominion over it, not over people,
that's right,
but over the systems
over the
that
systems
govern
the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but because.
But see, that's taken out of context. So
yeah, that's taken out of context.
I'm glad you
yeah.
corrected
yeah, yeah.
me. I'm glad you,
yeah.
you, I'm glad you cleaned that up over the system.
Yeah.
The not
system.
People.
Yeah. And so to much to our surprise, it wasn't because of what Adam done that God had to place man into leadership over man.
Mm.
It's not his original intent, but just as God said, you wanted a king when I was supposed to be your king.
That's why I'm gonna give you.
But
Saul.
Here you are.
So now I'm gonna give you Saul.
I'm gonna give you Saul.
Gone anoint him.
Yeah.
Here
ahead.
You are.
Right. I'll allow it.
A flawed man.
Right.
Who's subject to do whatever he wants to do at any moment.
My God.
Even though I've asked him to do it my way.
My God.
This man will still turn around and do it his way.
My God.
And so we are in a system where we do. We have flawed people. We have flawed preaching. If there's any preacher that walked the faith of this earth and ain't done nothing, then praise God for him. But my thing is, even with that situation, trust can be rebuilt.
Yeah.
If people allow it to happen. And that means that you have to sit in the trenches long enough for people to start to build trust with you. So let's say you went to jail 10 years ago for a scandal, and here it is. You're a black owner of a business, and you're trying to do something good for the community. Let's look at your track record. For the last 10 to 12 years, mm-hmm. you've given back to the community.
Right.
You started this organization, and you're helping kids, and you're mentoring
right.
kids.
What you did so 20 years ago shouldn't matter. Right.
So I'm buying into what you used to do or what you're doing now.
But see, again, that's what we do as black folk. Because, see, I don't see other people doing that. We will go back all the way back. Well, I remember you, Devon, when you used to be a folk corner, whatever, whatever.
Right.
Oh, now, oh, you know, he a preacher? Since when?
Mindset.
You yeah. see what I'm saying?
Mindset.
You can say this yourself. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like, hey, I remember when he used to be this.
Yeah.
And
you know,
they use it all the time.
Exactly. So we'll tolerate you stand out on the corner yelling and talking about we got to do better. We'll tolerate you preaching from the pulpit. We'll tolerate you on that radio show. But don't you try to go no higher, because see, we're afraid that, you know, we remember what you used to be and we don't want the rest of the folk to know.
Well, I stand behind who you are now.
Look at me how God looks at me.
Exactly. Because
yeah.
if that's the case, nobody should have never followed Malcolm X.
Or Dr. King. Come on now.
I'm just being honest.
Come on.
But we can't base it off of what he did before he went to jail. Because jail changed his life.
Martin Luther King couldn't be Martin Luther King today because of social media. All the stuff that we found out later on about his little side piece, or pieces. However many it was, I'm just saying. Think about it. With social media, he could not be who he was because we were